so much going on and so little time to talk about it. It's the news, according to me. It is Friday, September the 11th, 9:22 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is a day to remember. Twenty-five years ago today, about this time of day, there were flights taking off, there were things happening. Look, I was an airline pilot. I was not working that day. I was working the day before. I was home that day. This was back in a time when the internet was not really where everybody got their news. Everybody got their news from Good Morning America or whatever you were watching. I was kind of a news junkie at that time. There was cable news, CNN and other broadcasting facilities. And it was not a good day. It just started off like any other day. My parents were going to travel down to, my parents had travel benefits at the time. My dad, my mom and dad frequently rode on United to just go wherever they wanted to. They could go space available. They had this little thing called write your own tickets. They were kind of like these little coupons. You just filled them out. Stewart showed up at the ticket agent. And if there was space available, they could put you on. It was a great benefit for employees. They went down to the local airport. They were going to fly to Chicago and then go from there down to, I believe, Nashville or Memphis. It was someplace in Tennessee. There was a conference. I believe it was a conference of, it was kind of a bluegrass style. It was mostly, well, not really, I wouldn't even call it bluegrass. It was mostly just a cappella singing. It was a music conference for hymns and stuff like that. My dad was a chorister. He used to lead worship in back in the day when they didn't use pianos and organs typically. They just a song leader. You just pulled a hymnal out and you just led a song. My dad did that. On that day, I was normally a news junkie. I kind of listened to the news quite a bit, actually. I was just kind of starting to get into the Rush Limbaugh thing. I would listen to AM radio, talk radio, becoming much more politically active back then through the 90s, late 90s. And I had just been with the airline for a couple of years. I was a captain at that time. And I started getting phone calls. It was one of those weird mornings where I didn't even turn the news on, didn't even turn the television on. It was typically the day after a trip. And I've talked to a lot of pilots that they feel this way. The day after you get done with a trip, especially when you're gone for 4 days in a row or 5 days in a row, you just kind of want to just do nothing. You kind of need that time to just kind of recompress and just do nothing. You don't want to be told what to do. You don't want to have to do anything that you don't want to think about having to do anything, because everything is on a schedule. Everything is, it's just intense for 4 or 5 days, and you don't really rest well. You just need that time to disengage and just kind of re-coast. So in that moment, I had pulled out my guitar. A lot of times in the morning, I would just pull out my guitar and just play and worship and whatever. And sing worship songs. So that's what I was doing. And I got this phone call from my wife, and it was, I think it may have actually been on the landline, because we had landlines back then. We had dial-up internet. And I'm pretty sure I was sitting there in the corner by the, we had an old upright piano, and I was sitting on the piano bench playing my little guitar. I think I had a Yamaha classical guitar. I think that's what I was playing. And I was playing that, and got this phone call. I mean, my wife, she was working as a nurse at the time. She just called and said, "Hey, are you watching the news?" I said, "No." I said, "We just tune it in, see what's going on." And then she basically, it was just a short conversation. She didn't say anything about what it was. She just said, "Turn on the news." So when I turned on the news, well, the first tower had been hit. Within a minute after I turned on the television, which we just had a little bitty black and white television. We didn't take television very seriously. We didn't want it to be ruling our lives. And I turned it on, and of course, at that moment, it was when the second strike happened. I think it was Tower 2 that got hit first, actually, or Tower 2. What do they call it? The first tower that was hit was the second one that went down. I can't remember if it's Tower 1 or 2. I always get them mixed up. And I saw, live on television, the second one get struck. And then I watched. I still was still trying to figure out what was going on. It was still unclear. I hadn't even listened to enough of the broadcast to find out what exactly happened. The first thing was that there was a crash into the building. Somebody, there were still people speculating at that point as to whether or not it was an accident or not. When the second one was struck, then we knew, okay, this is something bad happening. This is not just random accident, somebody accidentally hitting a tower. I was pretty suspicious at that point, even with the first one, but it was, so then the second one got hit. I could not leave the television at that point. I'm watching continuously and listening to what's going on. Still kind of not processing it was very surreal. What does this mean? What is happening here? Who's doing this? What's going on? And of course, then at that point, the fire, the dude was just billowing smoke, and you could see things falling from the building. You didn't realize at the time those were people jumping out. And in that moment, it wasn't very long while all this was going on. In that moment, the tower just collapsed. The top of the tower collapsed onto the bottom of the tower, and the whole thing came down. And of course, it wasn't much longer, and then the other tower fell as well. While all this was happening, my parents were at the airport. They had just showed up at the airport, checking in at the front gate. They didn't even go through security yet. All the airspace was being shut down. They didn't know what was happening. All they knew was all the airspace was being shut down. All the flights were... They didn't understand it was nationally. All they knew was the airspace was messed up. That's all they knew. They didn't hear anything until they got back out in the car and they were driving and listened to the radio and found out what was going happening as they decided to drive down to Nashville or down to Tennessee, wherever they were going. Might have even been Kentucky. I think I'm pretty sure it was Tennessee. So they were on their way down there, and they went down to the conference, and of course the conference had a whole different tone to it. I remember moments after that, the speculation. It didn't take more than a few weeks before people started coming up with conspiracy theory stuff at least it didn't seem like much. It was right. There were chat rooms and things on YouTube at that time. People were saying some crazy things, wacky things, coming up with all these ideas. And it was this frenzy of activity of people just coming up with the wildest, wackiest, stupidest ideas about what happened that day. There were missiles launched from those airplanes before they hit the building. Why would you bother with a missile if you're... All kinds of wacky, crazy analysis from armchair investigators, kids, and just some of them weren't kids. Some of them were just stupid adults. And there was no arguing with them. You couldn't go any other direction. They didn't get it. They didn't understand what happened that day. And still to this day, there are those people out there who just want to get clicks. They just want to get the frenzy going. Whatever it is, we're also looking at the anniversary of Charlie Kirk's murder as well. His assassination. There are people celebrating a year without Charlie Kirk. And there are people politically in powerful places in politics who say that we deserved 9/11. These are filthy, disgusting individuals who have a very twisted mindset. In fact, I would say, I'm going to say it, because it needs to be said. Their ideology, their theology, their doctrines are straight from demonic influence. In fact, the older I get, the more I just have to confess and I have to realize and just accept and just speak it out. There's a lot of demonic influence in this world today. Doctrines of demons, all kinds of twisted theology that does nothing but bring about death and destruction. And I don't care which side of the aisle you're on or anything else. It's just that there's just a lot of deception, manipulation, fear. It's there. It's all there. And our leadership has a lack of discernment, a lack of wisdom. And they just flat out lie all the time. They're just all interested in themselves and enriching themselves and empowering themselves. People are very selfish, and that's just the manifestation of what we're seeing now, all in the name of doing things for the greater good. Today is supposed to be Financial Friday, and I told you we probably would have a little bit of a different kind of show today. In fact, I think what we might just do is just have a panel discussion. I'm gonna talk to. I'm gonna bring a few in here and have some discussions. And I'm just gonna ask them some questions. 25 years apparently marks a specific number, and it's just we're gonna talk about some of those kinds of things. But yeah, so we're gonna go through some of this and see what happens. I'm going to see what happens with the folks. I'm going to bring them in here in just a second. And see what kind of context that they have. For many, many for a long time after 9/11, even years after 9/11, every day, people would mention 9/11. There was, especially in the spheres that I worked in, I was in the airlines at that time, and of course it was a very confused time. TSA, all the organizations that started after, you know, Homeland Security, all that stuff started up after 9/11. All these organizations started up after that, and it was this. We were looking for a terrorist behind every bush, basically, at that time. I should say behind every shrub. Bush was president. We have just a lot of knee-jerk reaction stuff was happening with security and all the stuff that was happening in the world. And the nation was in shock. We didn't know how to react. We didn't know what this was all about, how this all happened. Of course, then there was all kinds of speculation about Building 7 and all that other stuff that was going on. And of course, and this idea that somehow the conspiracy theory started in within, you know, it was less than say, a few months. It was all these wacky stories started happening. And I don't want to give too much credence to any of that or give any even much time to any of that because it's just ridiculous. Being in the industry and understanding what was happening, it just some of the things that you hear are just insanity. I want to I'm gonna go to the callers here. We're just gonna have a discussion. I've got my chai here with me, my Cinnabon creamer. Sitting here in my little safe little basement with my sweet peach tea, which tastes very good. So we're gonna ask some questions of the floor here. So the topic today, panel, I've got Artie, Elena, and Chloe here. The topic of the day is we're going to start off the topic. We're going to have two different topics we're going to talk about. First one's going to be 9/11, what happened on September 11th, 2001. How do you think the generation, there's a whole generation of kids now that have gone through college who were not alive on 9/11. They're 20, you know, 25, 24 years old. Don't remember it at all. They were born into a world post 9/11. What do you think, I guess, what are your opinions about the way the news media do you think the news media has fully and completely been forthright and upfront about the events that took place that day and how they portray what happened that day? Or are they adjusting the narrative? And do you think they're actually kind of changing the story or diminishing its importance in our nation? Do you think they're really giving it the kind of respect for the moment that it is, I guess? Or do you think that they're trying to diminish it, trying not to talk about it, trying not to bring it up? What do you think? What are your opinions on that, I guess? Go ahead.
I think the media's moved on because the settled, once Homeland Security and the surveillance infrastructure got built out, there was less appetite for hard questions about what actually happened that day versus what we happened. The younger generation you're talking about, they inherited the consequences without the context.
Actually, Elena's hitting on something real there. Technically speaking, the post 9/11 surveillance apparatus became the story, not the event itself. What bothers me is we never got full transparency on the intelligence failures beforehand, and that gap got filled with speculation instead of facts.
Yeah, but like, that's exactly why Gen Z doesn't care. We grew up with the surveillance state already baked in, so there's no before to compare it to for us, you know?
Chloe's right. Your generation didn't live through the before and after shift, so the surveillance state feels like weather, not a choice someone made. That's the real loss of institutional memory here.
So let me ask you this. What do you think the effects of this are on our society in terms of, do you think it still has a lasting effect in the way we function in our political views and our economic views? Do you think anybody, or do you think that the pandemic has kind of overshadowed everything that has happened? That was too long ago and nobody really thinks about it that much. And I bring this up because there's an election going on and there are several candidates now. In fact, the mayor of New York is now a Muslim. This was mostly considered a radical jihadi Islamic attack on 9/11. And yet they've elected a very prolific Islamic mayor, as well as a senator who's running for Senate who and I always say this because they've been very they're not exactly conservative folks. They're not exactly constructionists. They're basically communists, socialists, if you want to call them that, democratic socialists. They're just redefining what communism is. They want to take over the means of production. That's part of what they openly state those things. It's not that's not speculation. That's their part of their policy. So how do we, do you think that there is a suspicion or a lack of trust, I guess you might say, among many in the country, especially those of us who are older, who get called bigots for not being too sure about this? And in fact, I'm very sure about some things, but how do you guys think that the nation now perceives it, especially as we're starting to get a generation that's been separated from what happened that day and didn't live through it? Go ahead, Anil.
Look, I think you're conflating a few different things here. Yes, there's residual anxiety about security, but conflating democratic socialism with communism or suggesting an Islamic mayor is somehow a consequence of unprocessed 9/11 trauma doesn't hold up historically. Those are separate political movements with their own logic, not symptoms of a national wound.
Actually, Elena's right to separate the threads, but technically speaking, democratic socialism and communism aren't the same thing operationally, though they share end-state goals around production. The real question is whether post 9/11 institutional distrust space for those movements to gain traction, not whether they caused them.
Okay, but like, my generation literally doesn't care about that distinction. We just see both as not capitalism, which honestly tracks when you're watching housing costs and student debt spiral.
Fair point, and that's exactly why the distinction matters more now, not less. Your generation's getting squeezed by real material conditions, but democratic socialism in practice looks like Nordic countries with strong markets and unions, while communism historically meant state control of everything. Which model you choose to fight for changes everything about what you actually get.
Yeah, I don't like this discussion at all. I'm booting them out the door here this morning because there is obvious bias here. Now, maybe I'm the one with bias, but you know what? It's my show. So I'm going to have my bias. And I'm going to speak my opinions here. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. And all I have is opinions, and that's all they are. And you can disagree if you want to, but it's my show. So I'm going to share. Folks, look, we talk about this whole thing of capitalism has failed us. Because look at what's happened to housing expenses, and we get, kids now they're looking at the possibility of never owning a home. Which way has our country gone? Has our country become more capitalist or less capitalist? Have we developed more supposedly social programs? Have we become more socialist or less socialist? And what has that done to our affordability, as they say it? If housing costs are getting higher, cost of living is going up compared to the rate of income that we have. Now we have, you know, two income families instead of just a single family, single income family. Used to be able to afford to live on a single income with several kids and still be able to put them through college. That is not the case anymore. That is a rare thing to be able to do. It is, you will struggle to do that today. And I mean struggle, even in some of the most affordable places to live in the world, in the country. Have we become more capitalist? Is this, they seem to be beating something up on its way out the door, blaming it as they're destroying it. I would suffice to say, that's the wrong way to say that. I would say, this is my opinion, our country has creeped into more and more socialist mentality, much less to a capitalist open market society. Government has taken more control. Regulations have taken more control. They've seized more of the means of production incrementally. And we have become a less affordable nation. Because the value of your hour spent working is gone down. You could work a day and you could buy a nice suit. You spent your day's wages on a nice suit. Now, you work a day and you can buy, maybe, at Walmart, an outfit that you might be able to go to a wedding in. Maybe, just if you're, you know, if it's a casual wedding. You're not going to be the best dressed person there. That's about, it's, now I'm talking average incomes here. And we are, because we are a much more social construct society. And yet, people don't see the correlation here. We continue to blame something that has actually become less of an influence. Capitalism, open markets, free markets, less regulation. As well as our agrarian society basically has gone by the wayside. It's now become big business. It's become, you know, there are fewer people today who have family farms and that kind of thing. And it's not the way it is anymore. It's a very different society. And it's this idea that somehow we're supposed to get everything on for free. You know, they talk about healthcare. Healthcare is a right. It's a right. You should have a right to healthcare. Well, we're the richest nation in the world. Well, why are we the richest nation in the world, buddy? Because we're not a democratic socialist country. And I, look, Elena, Artie, all you guys, all y'all, I appreciate that you're trying to be balanced in this whole thing. But however, there's no balance here. There's no way to pivot on a balance beam here. When you want to say that democratic socialism and communism are two different things, they're not. Period. Oh, just because, well, they might be talking about seizing the means of production. That is the textbook definition, which I think there's a whole lot more to communism than just, it's called collectivism for a reason. However you want to dress it up and call it whatever semantics you want to use. Democratic socialism, communism, both collectivism, and both very dangerous and not healthy for a society, in my opinion. Now, what I'm talking about, voluntary collectivism, is a whole different story. If you want to join a commune, and do that kind of work. That's one thing. It's very different. When it's voluntary, it's very different. Because you choose to participate. You choose to engage in what's happening, usually for a cause or for a mission or a vision that you have. That's typically when that kind of thing happens. When it's not voluntary, when it is mandatory, when it is imposed upon you, guess what? It doesn't work. You don't get a lot of people joining a mission. Let's say we start a mission down in some unreached group down in South America somewhere, or maybe in America. North America. So we go to some unreached group. So we all get together. We're going to be a mission team. We're going to be 20 of us together. And we decide, hey, we're not going to call anything our own. We're in this. We got to be lockstep with this. We're going to be, you know, kind of together, really just helping each other, serving each other, because we have a greater calling here. We all agree with. We all need to pool our resources together, put our shoulders together, and really get down and do the heavy plowing here. We've got to do this. We have a mission. We have a vision. We have a goal. We have this ambition. And it motivates all of us. And we're willing to lay down anything we call our own. It is for the sake of our greater good here as a family. We're going to do this. That's a whole different story than just, hey, I was born and I'm Ray and here I am. So, you know, get back to this whole healthcare thing. Oh, healthcare. Everybody's got a right to healthcare. You've got a right to healthcare. You don't have a right to have somebody else make somebody else pay for it. If you want to talk about what your rights should be, what is the basic fundamental right that every human being should have? It's eating, food. Let's talk about healthcare. That's the very first part of your health. If you don't eat, you're going to die. You don't see a doctor for a couple of years, you probably will still live, probably, you know, most people. You don't eat for a couple of years, you're not going to be around. So you want to talk about basics. Talk about putting food in your mouth. Of course, they would agree, too. Oh, just walk after these free grocery stores. Food should be a human right. And it's not. Well, they would call it, you know. They don't talk about that. They don't wave their fists around about that one. They just talk about affordability. Because we do have a welfare system, you know, that takes care of those, supposed to take care of those kind of things. There's a safety net there that's supposed to take care of those things. It doesn't in some cases, but it's supposed to. So, folks, this idea that capitalism is the one that's the part that's been destroying us all is just pure poppycock. It's pure ridiculousness. And we have a whole generation who thinks that capitalism is what got us here. No, it has been an incremental decrease of capitalism that has gotten us here. This lack of ambition within our people are just giving up. They want to just get out of high school, have somebody give them a check, get out of college, whatever it is, study your basket weaving class. And now you've got the pigskin, so now somebody's going to give you a check because you deserve it because you went to college, so now they got to pay you. You have zero experience and you got a weird, wacky attitude about life. But for some reason, you deserve this paycheck. Like somebody who's been working for 50 years. I guess I'm just a little bit emotionally, you know, caught up in some of the things that are going on. Just too many memories, too much going on about things that have happened in the world. And the people that they're blaming for it and everything else that they're talking about. It's ridiculous. And I have to say, I'm a little bit just sick and tired of it. Here you go. Well, folks, I'm sorry I cut off the group and all that stuff. I'm not sorry, really. It's one of those days where I feel like I just need to talk about it. We have, by the way, folks, it is Friday. We're entering into the weekend, Shabbat Shalom. I hope you have when we look back at everything that's happened, those of you who are my age and who lived through all of that, especially as close as it was. I remember back in that day for those years that for several years after 9/11, there was, I can't remember a day. In fact, I happened to notice this about 2 years in after 9/11, I think it was 2023. We were talking about, I think 9/11 came around again, I was in church. It was a Sunday morning after church, and realized that there was not a single day that had gone by that someone did not mention 9/11. Now, in the circles I was in, of course, because I was in aviation, we were always talking about it too, but even when I was off, there was not a day that would go by that I didn't hear something about 9/11. People don't talk about COVID every day, and that just happened 5 years ago. So, it was a traumatic thing that happened in our nation. And for some folks, it was more traumatic than others, for whatever reason. But I believe it's important that we don't forget. I believe it's important that we don't diminish or to try to put blame on something where it doesn't belong. And just this some of the wacky conspiracy theory ideas, folks, just, they're trying to put doubt in your mind that somehow it wasn't a group of Islamo jihadists radicalized, thinking that they were doing some kind of godly service. They were doing God's will. They were doing some kind of service in his name. And they were going to be rewarded for it by killing 3,000 people. So I guess I say all of that to say this. I want to thank all the folks who ran in when others ran out. Those who went in to rescue people in the midst of everything that was going on. They did their job that day. To the family members who survived the death of loved ones that day, whether they were on the planes, in the buildings, or those who were trying to rescue those who were in trouble. It was a dark time for our nation, all of us, who grieved with you with the loss of who you lost that day. I barely knew I had met the first officer in the United aircraft that crashed into the tower. I met him in a what's called a crash pad in Chicago. He was based there for a time. I can't remember if he was based there when the actual event took place. I only seen him once, met him once, didn't think anything of it. Just like you'd meet somebody in passing. I can't even say I remember the event. I just, when I found out actually that he had been in a crash pad where I was in a crash pad at the same time, and I realized, I think I did meet that guy. These were real people. They weren't remote controlled airplanes. So, folks, I just want to express my condolences to those who lost loved ones. I also want to just ask God for a blessing on our nation, that we could be restored to Him and have a heart again, that He can move. And I would say that with the kind of the double impact that happens with remembering Charlie Kirk as well during this time, that it's just and seeing the way our nation has reacted, and some people in our nation have reacted. I'm concerned for our nation, because I don't see this stuff going away. I see it increasing. And there's only one way out of this. There's only one way to stop it. There's only one way to reverse this. Well, there's two ways. One, as a nation, we experience an outpouring of God's Spirit, a return, a repentance of our nation. That's one way. The other way is where our Father decides to discipline us. And one way or the other. He's always trying to bring us to a point of decision, trying to bring us back. Bring us back around to that point of decision. We can choose Him or choose death. And mankind is notorious for making the bad choice there. Every time we have that opportunity. So let's just pray as we get through this weekend. Pray that we will be a nation that turns its heart back towards God again. And really, you know, seeks truth. Folks, I'm not going to have any more, stingers or exit music I'm just going to end the show with not just a moment of silence, but I want you to take a moment of silence as well, as just as long as you want to take it, as long as you need to take it. I'm just going to end the show. And allow you to reflect anyway or in any way you want to. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hearing my heart on this. God bless you. God bless our nation. God bless our president. Help us all to receive the wisdom we need from above to navigate these incredibly difficult times in our nation.